everyone, this is AK. I opened the app and I saw that I have not made a podcast since May. So I don't even know if I had any listeners, to be honest, but I decided to go ahead and make another one. The last one I made, I talked about if anybody had any subjects that they wanted me to cover. I didn't get any responses, but I'll go ahead and tell you guys about what's been happening in my life. So forgive me if I start talking really fast, because that's just how I talk. Okay, so basically, I think I told you guys that I was a high school teacher and I taught social studies. So in December, at the end of the semester, I actually resigned from my job as a social studies teacher. And that is because I got accepted to a PhD program that will focus in social policy and public policy, and my topic I would like to cover would be education reform. I also found out that the town where I live, their school board is actually going to have an election, and they're gonna have, I think, two or three positions available. So I'm also going to run as a school board member. Sorry, I'm a little sick, so I kind of sound nasally. But anyway, so I'm going to run for school board. So while I quit my job, it's kind of like the things that I really want to do with my life are falling into place, because the end game for me is to become a college professor of political science. So I had been in secondary education since 2012. So 2012 to 2018 was my time to be in high school education. So now the PhD program will take about 3 to 4 years. So hopefully my plan is to work on that program and to be a member of the school board. And I have a master's degree, so I could also teach at one of our local community colleges. But I've checked all the colleges and no one has a position available for any type of social science. Another thing that I did recently was we had local elections, the campaigning starting, which is, you know, the elections in November, obviously. So there is a man in my district that is running to be in the state Senate. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, I live in Indiana. So if you know anything about politics in this country, Indiana is a pretty far right, hardcore conservative, family values, you know, Second Amendment rights people, which is great. So anyway, this guy that is running is actually a retired Air Force colonel, and he was in for 30 years. So he's running using the military experience, education, infrastructure, jobs, and the economy as his platform. And I think that's fantastic. One thing is that he's not a politician. He had been doing the Air Force stuff, and then he retired, and now he does real estate. But one day he decided, you know, hey, the political climate that I'm seeing in the state of Indiana is just something that I'm not, you know, a fan of. I want to be able to help and work on policies and try to redo education reforms and that sort of thing. So a couple weeks ago, he actually had his campaign kickoff event, and I was a part of setting up that event, and I just thought it was so cool, because the last time I'd worked on a political campaign was 28 and I guess kind of 2016, and that was national, not local. So I was kind of getting inspired by him running for the office for the Indiana Senate. So also, if something with the Indiana Senate opens up, I would like to pursue that. I mean, politics has been a part of my life for 20 plus years. I went to school for political science. I just love the government. I love everything about it. And to be able to be a part of something, a part of change, would be fantastic for me. But I'm gonna start off one step at a time. So I'm working on the PhD program, and I'm also going to start setting up and figuring out what I have to do to run for the school board, because I should probably start campaigning like March or May. I'm not really sure. I have to find out, you know, when I want to be a part of that, because education is really, really important in the town that I live in. So sometimes people don't really care about school board elections and whatnot, but our town is so small. It's small enough to where, you know, normal everyday people, whether or not they have children in the school corporation, they really care about our education and the policies that we have. We've had different referendums for people to vote on, and you know, it's a town-wide thing, so everybody knows what's going on. So I really think that if I became a school board member, that I really would have the opportunity to make some change and to be a part of that. And I also graduated from the high school of the school corporation. They only have one high school, two middle schools, two intermediate schools, which is fifth and sixth grade. And I don't remember how many elementary schools that they have. So it's kind of small, but I'm excited to be a part of that. So I was looking at my phone. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath. I'm winded. I was kind of sick. I was nasally. My nose was stuffed up. So I apologize if I'm huffing and puffing. Anyway, I was looking at my phone and I saw that I still had the Anchor app on there. And I clicked on it and I looked and I thought, you know what? I really, really like the idea of a podcast. And I know that I didn't really have any listeners, but then I also thought, if I did have one or two listeners, they probably were like, okay, the last podcast you did was in May. So I'm not really going to follow your channel anymore. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Because I figured out, you know, just because I'm not getting any feedback from people does not mean that people aren't listening to me and don't, you know, some people might care what I actually have to say. One thing that I've noticed in the past couple years, which I think is awesome, is you have social media people from like YouTube or Instagram, Snapchat or whatever, mainly political, that's what I follow, how they have literally like risen from YouTube to just blowing up. And for them, it started out, you know, just posting some videos, talking about what they felt, what they believed, giving different, you know, analysis over things. And then the right person caught on to them. And now they're able to have this very large platform. And I thought, well, I don't want to blow up that much. Obviously, I'm posting on Anchor and not YouTube for a reason. But I don't want to blow up that much. But it would be nice to be able to get, you know, my voice and my message out there, which is why I wanted people to give me feedback on what they would want me to talk about, because like I said, politics has been my life. Politics, government, history. But if someone wanted to talk about, you know, a random topic, if I didn't know about it, I'd figure it out, because I think it's important to talk about what people want to hear. Because if you're just rambling about nonsense, people aren't going to listen, people aren't going to care, and you're wasting your time. So for me, I know if anybody is out there and you're actually listening, please, please, please give me something to talk about. Because now that I'm unemployed, I have a lot of time on my hands, and I would love to answer questions and talk about, you know, political stuff or anything for that matter. You know, how do I feel about certain issues? So, I mean, if you're interested in doing that, that'd be great. I do plan on doing podcasts more often, but I don't really know what to talk about at this point. I think what I might do is just focus on a mainstream political issue, maybe analyze what's going on, the policies, you know, politics in America is generally, you know, right and left, Democrat, Republican. Well, we do have libertarians and independents, but I mean, I could talk about things from both sides of the aisle, you know, that type of thing, because a lot of people aren't informed about politics. And it's not necessarily because they don't care. Sometimes it is, but it's because they don't know where to start, because it's a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, you have to find someone that will answer your questions and help you start from like the bottom to rise up. I mean, for instance, there are people in this country that don't know about the three branches of government. Which, I mean, you might think, oh my gosh, like, that's so dumb, they're so stupid, you know, that's, you know, whatever. But for me, I don't judge people, because if you don't know, you don't know. So, I mean, if somebody really, like, asked me a question about that, I would not ridicule them. I wouldn't make fun of them, because I think that's just rude. Because also, if you make fun of them, they're not going to want to ask you any other questions. But I'm able to discuss that. For instance, I taught high school. I taught, when I left, I was teaching U.S. history, world history, and ethnic studies, which was an elective course. When I told my students that I was resigning to become a politician, I had a few students raise their hand and ask me what a politician was. Now, I was thinking, okay, you know, he doesn't know. He's 16 years old, you know, a kid. I'm going to explain this to him. But then some people were laughing at him and were like, you don't know what a politician is? You're so stupid. I was like, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't say that about him. If he doesn't know, I'm going to tell him. So I was kind of explaining it to him, and he paused and he said, wait, do you mean it's like an election, like the president, where people get to vote for you? And I said, yes, absolutely. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I think that's a good idea for you. You know, I would vote for you if I lived in your town. So it's like, I had to shut that down, but I really was kind of upset about the people making fun of him because he didn't know what a politician was. Because again, if you don't know, you need to ask questions. And he was really curious. If he didn't want to know, he wouldn't have asked me. So it's like, he's got his classmates ridiculing him, and that literally, I saw him start to shut down. But I stopped that because I'm like, he asked me a question about government. He doesn't know the answer. I want to tell him. And another thing that I always talked about to my kids, you know, I taught high school, so they're teenagers, they're starting to drive and everything, getting jobs. But one thing I really focused on was the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, because everyday Americans might not necessarily know their rights. And I really focus on the 4th through 6th amendments. And we would have discussions, and they would see and talk about, you know, the different Law and Order shows they would watch, and Criminal Minds or whatever. And they would see the people get arrested, and they didn't know what the Miranda rights were. So I explained that to them, and they didn't understand why people didn't know their rights. And they're like, don't they learn it in school? And I'm like, well, they're supposed to. Whether or not they remember, you know, it doesn't, you know, matter or whatever. And I said, but a lot of people are just scared. When the police pull them over, they are just terrified. They're not thinking about the Bill of Rights and the rights that they have as an American citizen. And the students were like, wow, I've never thought about that. And I asked some of them if they'd been pulled over, were they scared, you know, what have they done, and that sort of thing. And I gave an example of myself. So I was speeding one day. And I told my kids, you know, the 5th Amendment, anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. The 5th Amendment protects you against self-incrimination. So I told my students, I said, when I got pulled over, you know, I rolled my window down, and the cop comes up to the window, and he asked me this question 3 times. He says to me, or asked me, do you know why I pulled you over? And the students were like, well, what did you say? And I said, absolutely nothing. I said, he asked me the question at least 3 times, and they said, why didn't you say anything? And I said, I was protecting myself from self-incrimination, invoking my 5th Amendment rights. So of course I had to explain all that to them. But basically I told them, you know, if I had said, yes, officer, you pulled me over because I was speeding. I told my students, if that actually went to court, my words could be used against me. He could say, well, she admitted to speeding, so she admitted to knowing what she was doing wrong. So I never said anything. So he went, you know, ran my license, came back. I got a warning or whatever. But when I told my students that example, they thought about that because a lot of them have been pulled over and they were freaked out and admitted to the police officer, you know, why they got pulled over or whatever. And I said, if you don't learn anything in my U.S. history class, please at least learn the first 10 amendments, in particular 4 through 6. We did talk a lot about the 2nd Amendment. Because a lot of them, you know, the 2nd Amendment is in the media, you know, people are freaking out, don't know what's going on. So I talked a lot about that, and I talked a lot about the 1st Amendment. So now that I'm no longer at the school, or at any school that I've taught at, I'm hoping I at least made somewhat of an impact on those students to make them think, even though you're not an adult, even though you're not 18, you are an American citizen and you still have these rights just like everybody else. So being a minor doesn't matter. So that's an example of something that I would do in class. I would talk about the Constitution constantly. Obviously, you do that in U.S. history class. I would talk about the 27 amendments. I would talk about the Declaration of Independence. I would talk about different documents that had to do with the foundation of our government. Because a lot of people, kids, you know, adults or whatever, they're like, what's the point in learning about these documents from 200 plus years ago? It doesn't apply today, but it absolutely does. The Constitution is the law of the land. And I said, these documents from 200 plus years ago, they set the foundation for this government of this country. And I'm like, if you don't know anything about those documents, you don't have any idea how government and how our system, how our country works. So I feel like whether or not you care about politics, that's okay. Not everybody cares about politics, that's fine. But I at least think everybody should care and should know about the founding documents of this country. Because I feel like as an American citizen, you should at least know something about your government, something about the government that you live in, the government that helps run the society you live in. You need to know your rights as American citizens, you know, as residents of states. And I mean, that's kind of what I want to do with this this podcast. That's something that I want to do. I mean, I could talk all day about this kind of stuff, but I just would like, you know, people to ask me questions about maybe the Constitution, and I could answer or analyze, you know, that question, which would be awesome. You know, and if there's something, I always told my students, you know, if there's something really controversial that, you know, you're kind of afraid to talk about or don't know, you know, should I ask this question? I said, always ask it. You know, a lot of kids wanted to talk about abortion and gay marriage and the legalization of marijuana. But a lot of them were scared because they're like, I shouldn't ask my teacher this question. This is not appropriate. And so I would ask the kids, I said, if you don't ask this question, how will you ever know the answer or be able to formulate your own opinion? Because there are a lot of teachers that I've known that they shut that discussion down. Oh, we're gonna write papers, but don't talk about abortion, don't talk about gay marriage, don't talk about anything that, you know, is not really appropriate. Then my thing is like, how do they learn? How do they understand? If you never tell them and they don't know how to go and research stuff for themselves because they're, you know, young kids, you know, 15, 16, how do they ever learn? And they grew up as adults never learning about these controversial issues, the questions that they had in high school. They never learn the answer or are able to formulate their own opinion, and they're getting their knowledge from foolishness like Facebook and Snapchat, Instagram, you know, YouTube, all these social media platforms are where they're getting their information from. A lot of those social media platforms are opinion based. So it's like if they never learn anything about that topic at hand, you can't blame the students or, you know, when they become adults for not knowing anything. So one thing that I would always talk about was controversial issues. And I would even ask students because sometimes they were thinking about these issues, but they didn't want to say it. So I would bring it up. You know, I would say something like, let's talk about Donald Trump and the wall. And they're like, what? I had a question about that, but, you know, I didn't want to ask that because we've got, you know, a bunch of Mexicans in this class. And even the Mexicans were like, well, I want to know too. Can we talk about this? I wanted to know too, especially as a Mexican American. And we would have discussions about that. And one thing that I would do, I know I'm kind of rambling right now, but I haven't talked in a while. So, you know, I'm sorry, you don't have to keep listening. But one thing I do as an educator is I break down the language. A 15-year-old kid has no idea what an illegal alien is or an illegal immigrant. They don't have the politically correct definition or different wording in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. They don't understand, you know, these big words, whether from 200 years ago, you know, or from today's society. So I'm going to apologize if I ever offend anybody on this podcast. I'm letting you know right now, I apologize 100% because some stuff I say It's not politically correct. It's controversial. But like I told my students, I asked them and I said, you know, can I be real with you? When they asked that question about illegal immigration and, you know, jobs and Mexicans coming over the border, I said, you know, can I be real with you and tell you in your language what I'm talking about? They all agreed and said yes. So I told them, basically, Mexicans are illegal border hoppers coming over here to work on grape farms. Now, I know that's completely, you know, non-politically correct. It's not even correct in that sense, but we talked about the 1960s and the Mexicans coming over to work on grape farms. So while a lot of I had a lot of Hispanic kids, you know, from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, etc., and they were like, we understand that. We understand what you're saying. So whenever I would talk about the wall, my default language would be illegal border hoppers working on grape farms. One day, I had some students in my class that were not my students. There was testing, and I had a different class come in with my class that I had, and I was still teaching my class. So these students were Mexican. Now, I'm not one of those people that, you know, writes off all Hispanics as Mexican, because that's not true. But a lot of the kids that I had and did talk to and talk about it, they were Mexican. So these students were Mexican. And so my kids, we were talking about immigration and the wall, Donald Trump, that kind of thing. And when I said my signature phrase of illegal border hoppers working on grape farms, you should have seen the looks on those kids' faces. They snapped their head up so fast and looked at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. And they're kind of looking at me, and the students who were my students, they weren't, you know, affected by it, because that's what we talk about. And they're kind of looking at them. They're like, oh no, they don't know what we're talking about. And I said, so I kind of explained to the students what I was talking about. And they were like, okay, because we were wondering why the other Hispanic kids weren't offended when you said that. And I said, because they're my students and they know the language that I talk in. And I said, so I apologize. I am so sorry. I didn't think about, you know, that I had students in here that were not my students and didn't know the language that I used when I spoke about, you know, government and politics. So, but once I explained it to them, they were like, well, that's kind of interesting. Can we come over and listen to you and what you guys are doing? That kind of sounds interesting. The way you just explained, you know, the immigration stuff, I understand it now a little bit, you know, can we come over? And I'm like, sure, pull up a desk, pull up a chair. So they came over and they were able to be a part of the discussion. And one thing, like I said before, I always try to do is I always try to speak on the level and use the language, you know, the slang terms of the kids in 21st century, these Gen Z kids, because they don't understand all those big words and all these philosophical concepts. So whether or not what I'm talking about is politically correct, I don't really care, because I want to make sure that they understand what I'm talking about and can apply that knowledge. Now, I always ask them, if I offend you, please stop me. Please stop me. I'll regroup. I'll come up with something else. You know, if I offend you with any type of language, please stop me, because my goal isn't to offend. It's to speak in your language, you know, so to say. So that's one thing that I've always done. And sometimes it's a little interesting when, you know, other teachers come in. I was talking about the 18th and the 21st Amendment, you know, one day, and a teacher walked in as I was talking about liquor stores and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of looked at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to totally explain to this teacher, because I don't want to be reported. So I kind of took the teacher off to the side and explained what I was doing. And he was like, oh, okay, because I walked in and you're talking about liquor stores and the names of liquor stores and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what is she doing? What is she saying? But so I did have some teachers come to me, and they're like, you know, the way you explain things to these kids, they really like it. Can we use what you're doing? And I'm like, absolutely, 100%. Another example, I know I'm rambling, but another example is how I use X-Men clips to talk about the Holocaust. I use clips from different X-Men movies. I downloaded the clips, you know, cut them, edited them or whatever. And I use those clips to talk about the Holocaust. A lot of kids, you know, they know about X-Men. I don't know why they didn't pay attention, probably because it's, you know, they don't really care about history. But a lot of them didn't realize that Magneto was a Holocaust survivor. And they were like, what? So I played the clip and they're like, I never even knew what that stuff meant, what they were saying. I never learned about that. So I took those clips, you know, I went further, talked about the Holocaust, talked about, you know, the Nazis, Nuremberg trials, you know, how different Nazis were able to escape to South America. And a lot of the kids were just like, I've never had a teacher use something like this to help explain a concept to me. And they said, if you had not used the X-Men clips and just explained it without any type of resource, I still wouldn't get it. They said, you know, I needed to physically see what you were talking about to be able to get it. And they said it wasn't some boring, you know, black and white clip from 1950. It was something that we know, we watch, we care about, we like. So able to tie that in was fantastic. So that was something that I tried to do a lot. I tried to bring in things that, you know, the Gen Z kids talk about, know about today. Not gonna lie, when I first got an education in 2012, I Urban Dictionaried everything. I had no idea what these kids were saying. Even today, I'm still logging on to Urban Dictionary, you know, because I don't want to look like I don't know what they're saying, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, just, oh yeah, you know. And then I pull it up on my phone, I'm like, oh, that's what that meant. Okay, so that's a good word. Being lit, okay, that's good, that's a good thing, okay. And everything. I didn't know what the floss was. I knew it was a dance. I didn't know where it came from. You know, different things like that. The songs, you know, the music. And so that's one thing that I always try to do. I try to, it wasn't necessarily trying to be like a hip teacher and be fun. It was trying to get on their level and explain things to them in a way they could understand. Especially, I always told the kids, I'm not going to lie to you, history is boring. And they're like, you're not supposed to say that, you're a teacher. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to tell you the truth. I said, history is boring unless you're like me and you absolutely love it. And we kind of discussed, you know, why it was boring, the way that it was usually taught to them. And, you know, again, movie clips from the 1950s, 1980s, you know, somebody just standing up there going on and on about just random stuff, you know, not really giving you any visual resource. In the classes we had a block schedule. They were 90 minutes long. So imagine an hour and a half of somebody standing up there just randomly talking about the Constitution without using, you know, clips you might understand, or, you know, some type of worksheet or some type of book, something that you could use. They're just standing up there and they're like, take notes. And you're like, well, okay, take notes on what? The stuff I say. Well, a lot of kids didn't do the notes because they're like, I don't know what to write down. All the stuff they're saying kind of sounds important. They didn't say, you know, exactly what to write down or give us like bullet points, you know, on a worksheet or a slideshow. They're just talking and talking and talking. And so I told them, you know, history is boring. And a lot of my different students told me that they were interested in history. It wasn't boring to them, but the way it was delivered was boring. They wanted to learn more and appreciate history and government, but they wanted it in a way that they were interested in. And I actually asked the kids all the time. I said, this is the topic we are going to discuss. Let me know, tell me as a high school student and telling me as a teacher, what is one way that I could teach this to you that you would understand or you would like? Every time we talked about a new issue, and a lot of them didn't know what to say. They're like, we've never had a teacher ask us that before. So a lot of kids actually went, you know, the old school route. They're like, well, it's okay if you stand up here and give us a lecture and maybe have like a slideshow, you know, like open a book, you know, we're okay with that. But I did have some kids that they wanted to do skits. So I would have them act out different things we were talking about. You know, we would watch video clips. I had students make videos, you know, just different things, because I wanted them to not only understand and appreciate what we were doing, but also to remember it. Because when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, you're not gonna really remember a lot of stuff from high school when you're 30 years old. But it was kind of like, I wanted them to at least think about it and remember. One thing I would do was I would pull up those YouTube clips about, you know, random people on the street asking random Americans different questions about the Constitution, you know, basic questions everyone should know. And I would pause it before they said the answer. And my students were just, they were like, we don't know the answers to this. Why are you playing this? And I said, if we watch this video clip and you don't know any of the answers, we're gonna have a problem and I'm a horrible teacher. And they're like, what? So I played the clip and I paused it. The first question they asked was, what are the first 10 amendments of the Constitution called? They were all jumping up and saying, Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. And I played the clip and I said, I thought you didn't know. And so then they were excited about watching the video clip. And they knew every single answer except, I'm trying to remember which one they didn't know. It was one that I hadn't covered yet. But, you know, they answered the questions about, you know, how many states there were, who was the president. You know, they were able to name the three branches of government. And once we finished watching those video clips, they wanted me to play those over and over and over all day. They wanted to test their knowledge. I'm like, look, I can't do this for 90 minutes. We can't watch YouTube clips about, you know, people getting asked these questions for 90 minutes. But they were excited because they actually realized they were retaining the information. And they were even more excited because they're like, as a 16-year-old junior in high school, I know more than these, you know, 40, 50-year-old people that they're just asking on the street. I know more than them. And that was kind of something that boosted their self-esteem, because a lot of times, you know, they're like, oh, adults, they think they know everything because they're grown and they've been through this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, you see right now that these grown people have no idea the answers you just gave. So I would kind of do that. I would talk about a subject or, you know, an issue, content or whatever. And if there was a YouTube video or other videos that I could find where they just ask random people on the street these questions, I would always play them because I wanted to know. And I, you know, they wanted to know. We wanted to test our knowledge to see the things that they're asking. You know, the teachers talked about this before. So do I remember? Do I understand? You know, that type of thing. So it's like, of course, as a teacher, you know, it just warms your heart. So I'm like, yes, you know, I'm making a difference. These kids understand. They remember this kind of stuff. So, I mean, being 15, 16, now when they're 30 years old, I mean, they may or not remember what happened when they were in high school. But I kind of feel like if something is fun and applies to your everyday life, you're going to remember it. I mean, I like to think they're going to maybe remember one of the things like that 50-year-old grandpa didn't know, you know, how many branches of government there are. He didn't know that. So I don't know. I mean, I just, I don't know. So just kind of things like that. That's been my life for, you know, the past, I guess, from May to now. What's it, January 2020? I can't believe it. Crazy, craziness. Kind of what I've been doing with my life. And I have been keeping up, you know, with the political climate, obviously. The people running for presidency, you know, I think the Democrats have they narrowed it down yet? The last time I knew, they had like 10 people running or something like that. I don't know. But I was kind of, you know, keeping up with them, you know, keeping up with Trump and his reelection campaign. And there's some people trying to run against him, which, has that ever happened in the history of the presidency? I mean, I really don't know the answer to that question. It's sad I don't know, but I can't remember off the top of my head if anybody has actually ran against an incumbent president. The guy isn't gonna win. Like, we know that. I mean, I guess he's trying to prove a point. I mean, I have no idea. You know, even, you know, people on both sides of the aisle kind of scratching their heads like, what is this dude doing? So, I mean, I don't know. But I am trying to follow, you know, the different issues that are going on. You know, the concept of Medicare for all, which is really a hot issue. The democratic socialism policies that, you know, the Green New Deal, things that the left are trying to, you know, bring into the political climate. And one thing that I noticed with my students was, you know, they really liked what these people were saying, but they didn't know what they were talking about. So when I would break down some of these issues, they're like, oh, I don't want that. That's not what I wanted. Oh, no, no. That's what that really is. Oh, no, I don't want that. No, no, I don't want that. And so I'm kind of like, you know, I think politicians, you know, left and right, sometimes take advantage of young voters. They say things that they know or think they want to hear over and over and over enough, and these young voters aren't necessarily going to fact check them or sit down and evaluate and analyze what they're being told. And I think that's a huge disservice to not only young voters, but just everybody in our country. I just think that's ridiculous and that's horrible. But these tactics actually work. So I always tried to make sure, you know, the kids understood what was happening, understood what was being said, understood, you know, how it would be funded, you know, taxes, how all of that stuff worked, and then formulate their opinion. I never let the kids know politically what side I was on. I was never that teacher, because I feel like once you tell the kids what side you're on politically, they're going to judge you, or they're going to lean more towards what you said rather than formulating their own opinion. So I never did that. And I was so good at it, the kids kind of, they never guessed who I supported or what policies I supported, you know? They're like, well, you know, you support, you know, tax cuts for small businesses, which is something, you know, the Republicans, the right side, you know, kind of cares about. But then, you know, you also care about social welfare reform, which is something that the left kind of cares about, you know, adding more programs or that type of thing. And, you know, they would say, you know, Second Amendment, gun rights. I mean, it was a lot of things that we talked about that they couldn't tell what side I was on, you know, on the issue. And they tried to pick my brain and ask me, and I said, look, I'm not going to tell you how I feel or what I believe, because I don't want you to be tainted from what I'm going to say or what I think. So I'm never going to tell you that. You guys have to figure it out yourselves. And a lot of teachers, even when I was growing up, a lot of teachers don't do that. They come in, oh yeah, so welcome to U.S. history, U.S. government, you know, I'm Mr. So-and-so, I'm Miss So-and-so, and I'm a Republican, or I'm a liberal, you know, I'm so far on the right, so far on the left, I believe this, 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 and this. Before class even really gets started, the kids are like, well, my teacher believes, you know, in building the wall, so I guess I'll agree with them too, because she sounds like she knows what she's talking about. So I don't really know about the issue, but they kind of sound good, so I'll agree with building the wall. And then you might have a teacher on the left, you know, that says, that talks about illegal immigrants having a path to citizenship. And they'll say, well, I kind of agree with that teacher because I don't know about the issue, but she seems to know what she's talking about. And that was something that I never, ever, when I was in high school, I'm like, I never want to be that kind of teacher. Because when I was in high school, I mean, I'm going to brag. I have been interested in politics since I was like 8 years old, like my whole life. I was like a weird kid. So by the time I was, you know, 17, a senior in high school, I knew enough stuff to like run for office. Example, I had transferred to a new school, and the first day of you know, the new school, the first day of the new class or whatever, they gave us, I think it was 30 questions of political, just political everything, just random things about the government. And the group I was sitting in, they were kind of scratching their heads, like, I have no idea any of these answers, you know, whatever. And so when the teacher was collecting the papers, she said, you only missed one. How do you know all this stuff? You got a 29 out of 30. How did you know? And I said, it's been something I've been interested in my whole life. And the kids were just astonished. They were like, what? You're new to this school, you know, you're new to this town, you're new, how do you know this stuff? And they said, well, what was the question she missed? And the teacher looked and said, she missed the question of who represents our district, because I just moved here. And they were like, oh. And she said, but she wrote down the correct answer of who represented the district that she moved from. So people were just, you know, just astonished and excited. People wanted to come talk to me, pick my brain, that kind of thing. So it's like, even when I was young, I really paid attention and formulated my own opinion on these issues, but I never wanted to be that teacher that students were able to guess or determine, you know, if I was left or right, or if I was center, independent, libertarian, did I support, you know, Trump or Hillary or Bernie? You know, I never wanted them to feel that way, because again, their opinion is tainted. There was a teacher that some people had, they were really upset about him, because he was a staunch far left, like no room Republican, and everybody knew it. And this was during the 2016 election, where there were a lot of people that actually supported Trump, but because of the way that people treated them, they were scared to say anything, especially young voters, the students I had, because the young students are supposed to care about legalization of marijuana, which is something that Bernie was advocating. They're supposed to care about stuff like that and free college, you know. they're not supposed to care about, you know, being pro-life and different issues, you know, different issues with abortion or different things about, you know, closing the border, that kind of stuff they weren't supposed to care about. So they would never say anything. But one student, I still remember this. It really upset me. She came into my room, you know, running in one day, and she said, "I'm really offended." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, you know how Mr. So-and-so is like a hardcore Republican, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "He played all these YouTube videos making fun of Trump, making fun of people who supported Trump and his policies." She said it was really awful. And she said he played a couple videos about Hillary, but they weren't offensive. They were just like funny videos. And she's like, "I've already texted my mom. My mom's gonna call up to the school and talk to him." And she's like, basically near tears. And she's like, I don't know what to do, what to say. And of course she doesn't like speaking up in class because again, he's far right, but all the kids care about, you know, free college and let's smoke weed. But she wasn't one of those people. So when she would, you know, raise her hand and want to talk about the reasons why she wanted to be pro-life, it would get shut down. People would make fun of her on social media. It was really, really bad. And I was really upset about it. And her mom called up to the school, ended up talking to the teacher. You know, he gave his, you know, whatever apology. And then she said that he did, you know, stop and didn't really do anything because I guess people assume that, you know, this is high school. These are young kids. They're not going to support Trump and his more conservative policies. So I'm guessing he probably didn't think, you know, anybody was, you know, a Republican on the kids, because he was a Republican, but he didn't think any of the kids would be Republicans or support conservative policies. But I told the student and she said, "I'm never going to say anything in that class again." And it really like kind of broke my heart because she had questions, a lot of questions. And she said, "But because I'm a Republican, you know, far right support Trump, I'm not getting the answers. There's no dialogue being open. People are making fun of me. I'm just going to stop talking." I told her, I said, "You know what? How about whenever you want to talk about politics, you know, I'll write you a pass. I don't even care. You know, I'll write you a pass to come to my room, and the stuff they're discussing in class, we'll discuss it together in my room from your point of view." And she was like, "Really? You'd do that?" I said, "Of course I would." So, you know, the teacher kind of asked, you know, what was going on. And we kind of told him, of course, he backed off. He was like, "Oh, I'm not going to touch that one." So, you know, she would say, "Well, we were talking about how it's unfair to, you know, increase taxes on local small businesses." And, you know, the stuff they were saying she disagreed with. So she's like, "I'm going to go to her room and get a pass. And, you know, we're going to talk." So we talked about it. The, you know, the opposite side of what everybody else thought. And she was 18 years old and she was so mature for her age. It was just amazing. You know, like what, it kind of reminded me of myself, what 18-year-old kid thinks about taxes on local family businesses. And it wasn't even that her family had a local business. It was just something she thought about, you know, about Obamacare, the healthcare reform, you know, people being forced to offer healthcare for, they had X amount of full-time employees. I mean, those are the different things she wanted to talk about. And so, you know, whenever they would have some type of discussion that she just felt like she couldn't take it, she would come to my room and we would talk about it all the time. And it just like made her day, made my day, because I love talking about it. I love being able to be there for a student that needed someone or somebody, you know, whatever, to get their ideas heard, to bounce their ideas. You know, like for instance, one thing that happened in classes, she came to my room crying. She said that when they talked about illegal immigration and Trump building the wall, that was something that she supported, him building the wall. And, you know, she had her reasons, which is kind of, you know, all the people who want to support the wall, they kind of have the same reasons. And she said that she said what she felt. Everybody in the class called her racist, and she ran out of the room crying. When she told me what happened, I'm getting emotional, but she told me what happened, I just couldn't believe it. And she's like, "I really want to talk about Trump and the wall. I really want to discuss this. But if I ask a question or I say a thought, people say I'm racist, I'm not going to want to say it. I don't want to talk about it." So she came to me, you know, we talked about it, you know, about her, the Trump building the wall, you know, how it wasn't racist. You know, she had really good points. We talked about it. And she graduated. And when I went to her open house, her mom, you know, kind of shook my hand and was like, are you the one that was talking to my daughter about politics, her conservative politics? Is that you? And the girl was like, yeah, mom, that's her. That's the teacher. And her mom was basically in tears. And she was like, thank you so much for being there for my daughter. She said, because my daughter's in politics. I don't really know anything about politics. So the question she had, I couldn't really answer because I didn't know either. And she said, when she started telling me about you, I was like, I want to meet that woman because I appreciate her 100%. I'm so grateful she was there. And, you know, I was grateful that I was there too. So we kind of, you know, hugged and talked about it and stuff. And, you know, when she got to vote, she was so excited, you know, to go vote for Trump. Like, she was just over the moon that she was able to do what she wanted to do. You know, she was able to go in the booth, and it's 2020. Well, it was 2016, but we still had, where you just push the button. You're not like writing or check, you know, it's technology. So she was able to go push the button for Trump, and she was just so excited, just over the moon. And so of course, when Trump won, and all these kids was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, that racist and this, this, and this. And just like, just so disappointed that he won. She's trying hard to contain her emotions about how excited she is that the candidate that she wanted and voted for actually won. So I'm like, come to my room, let's have a mini celebration, because they're all upset, and, you know, Bernie and Hillary and all this kind of stuff, and the election was cheated, all this kind of negative stuff. I said, come to my room, we'll have a mini celebration. So she came to my room, you know, we just had, you know, not really a mini celebration in the sense that we did, I gave her stuff, just being excited together that Trump won, that she was able to tell me how she was excited, why she was excited, you know, the different things that she believed in, that she believed he would do. And so I was excited to be able to be there for her. And I know that I am rambling hardcore, but it'd be awesome if somebody like listened to this whole thing. But another instance about Trump is that the school that I taught at, that I'm talking about, it was the one before the last one that I just quit. Anyway, the school started off great. It was grades 10 through 12. And basically the school was, it was like an elite school. It was, you had to apply to get in and everything. They only had like 400 kids. But with the school, the way it was set up, you graduated not only with a high school diploma, but also a 2-year associate's degree from one of our local colleges. And they actually graduated college before high school. College was like in April. But anyway, so that's how elite this school was. So the kids that came to this school, able to get in, you know, this was a big deal. And a lot of them were, you know, first time high school graduates for their family, definitely first time college graduates for their family. And so a lot of people came there. So it was the new school year. And so, you know, the new people are 10th graders. This kid came in and, you know, he sat down or whatever. And the school policy and my policy is not to wear hats inside the classroom. I don't discriminate. If you're a boy or a girl, take the hat off. I grew up military family. We just didn't wear hats inside. It's just something we didn't do. So even though that's the school policy, I really was, you know, really on them about it because, you know, that's how I felt. So even if it was a girl, had on a cap, it didn't matter. Take it off. And so there's this boy. And I went up to him. I didn't even know what kind of hat he had on, but I'm just like, you know, hey, my rule is to take your hat. Can you take your hat off? He took the hat off. He put the hat down. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was a Make America Great hat. And I'm like, wait, Make America Great Again, MAGA, yeah, whatever. And I was just thinking in my head, oh my gosh, like, oh. And as I'm thinking of this, of course, somebody sees the hat, calls him a racist. They come up, somebody knocks the hat off the table, and all this kind of stuff. Before I'm able to even react, it was that quick. Like, first day of school, this kid's been in there for like 5 minutes. You know, he was a bigger, you know, country farmer boy. His family owned a farm. So he's a bigger boy. And he was like near tears. I went off so bad on those kids. It was not even funny. These are new kids. I've never seen these kids before. I went off so bad on those kids that they ended up picking the hat up, apologizing to him, sitting down, and never ever bothering that issue again. And the boy was like, you know, I really appreciate that you're here, because one thing my family was worried about is that, you know, we're farmers, we own a small business, we really care about Trump's policies with business and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's something that's really important to my family. And he said, my parents were worried, you know, you support Trump. We support Trump as a family, but the school you're going to go to, a lot of those kids probably aren't. And they're going to say something. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to do whatever. And they were kind of concerned for his safety, even though he was a bigger boy. You know, they were kind of concerned for his safety, because even though he's a bigger boy, he could still get jumped, you know, by a group of five people. And so, you know, they kind of were like, you know, maybe you shouldn't wear your shirt. Maybe you shouldn't like bring your hat to school. Maybe you should just kind of, you know, leave the conservative Trump stuff at home. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to not, you know, put on the stuff that I support because somebody might be offended, you know. And so he told me when he went home and he told his mom what happened, and she was like, who was that teacher again? I really appreciate her. It was kind of the same story with the girl. And so now again, he knew that I didn't like hats in class. It wasn't because it was a MAGA hat. That had nothing to do with it. It was just that I didn't like hats. And I kind of think at first he thought it wasn't. He saw me tell everybody to take their baseball hats off or whatever. So then he was like, okay, cool. But he would wear his MAGA shirts. He would wear his, you know, his Trump apparel to school. And whenever I would see him, he would smile at me because he knew other kids would say stuff and try to bully him. But he's like, there's this teacher in this school that is supporting me and what I believe and what I'm trying to do. And that means everything. And my voice is getting hoarse. How long have I been talking? Let me see. Wow, almost an hour? Wow. Okay, well, I'm not done, so I'm going to keep talking. Let me get some water. Hang on a minute. But the kid was excited that I was there. You know, he was like, one person that's able to support me or, you know, not judge me in my views is there that I'm able to talk to. That means so much more than these kids and these teachers, you know, saying stuff to me, because there's one person. You know, and he's like, his parents were concerned that there wouldn't even be, you know, a teacher, student, like nobody would be able to, you know, talk to him. Now, he came, I think the girl had graduated 2 years before he came. But one thing I ended up noticing was that there was another kid that was a Trump supporter and had a MAGA hat, MAGA shirt. And they were able to meet each other and talk together. And they were so excited. It wasn't even funny. And then when the boy who had the hat on explained to the other boy what happened, they literally pulled up chairs to my desk, because I did study hall and like computer lab stuff, so I didn't have like lesson plans or anything. So they pulled up the chairs. I'm like, what's going on, guys? And they said, well, we want to talk to you about something that Trump said last night. We want to talk to you about a different policy that Republicans are, you know, are bringing to the floor. And I was like, okay, let's talk. And so we're sitting there having our conversation. You know, people are nosy. So people come up and some people knew who those kids were. They knew they were Trump supporters, but some didn't. And they're kind of like, hey, why are these guys at the teacher's desk? So they would come up like, hey, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, pull up a chair. You can listen. This kid started talking about their support for Trump, and they jumped and said, oh no, man, never mind. Never mind. And I'm like, well, you can, no. And they just walked away and sat down somewhere else. And the boys start cracking up. And I'm like, everybody is welcome to have this dialogue. Whether or not, you know, you guys agree with each other, it doesn't matter. You know, they're welcome to have this dialogue. So some stuff we would do, I would have like, I guess like a round table discussion. And I would have people, you know, on the right side, people on the left side, people on the I don't know side. And I told them, you know, we can talk about anything. And I said, but once we, hold on, let me take a drink of water, hang on. Hope you didn't hear that, that probably sounded weird. But anyway, I told Alma, I said, look, we can talk about any controversial issue you want, we can talk about whatever you want, but once you start name calling, we're done. I said, I'm not going to reward you being disrespectful, whether to each other or about the different candidates. Once you do name calling, it's done. Everybody take your chair, go back to your desk. So we're having this really good discussion, and this one boy called Trump an asshole. Everybody stared at him because they already knew. And I stopped talking. I was like, we're done. And he was like, what? And the kids are just like, oh my gosh. And they're just kind of freaking out. And he's so confused. And they're like, and he's like, what? And they were all like, she said, once you call people names, we're done talking.
And they're like, you called Trump an asshole. That's calling somebody a name. We are done with this discussion. And then he was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. So everybody's, you know, taking their chairs and going away. And so he's looking, you know, some type of way, feels bad or whatever. And he's like, I didn't even realize what I was saying, you know. And I said, well, I told you guys, once you start name calling, we're done. So, you know, I said, maybe we can pick this up tomorrow. So when we picked up the discussion the next day, they looked at that boy and I said, go sit down. You are not going to be a part of this discussion. And so he's like, what? So he kind of was off to the side. He was still listening. But they're like, if you say one word, and he's like, okay, I'm not going to say anything, guys. I'm sorry. So we're able to continue our discussion. And one thing I really liked about me being able to do that was that when I was in high school, I never had a teacher like that, that would be willing to discuss the controversial issues, to discuss the things that, you know, we're not supposed to ask because it's inappropriate. We're not supposed to ask about, you know, these different policies. You know, we're not supposed to talk about guns or abortion or, you know, like the students' rights to, you know, free speech or whatever. We're not supposed to talk about these kind of things. And I didn't have anybody like that in high school. I didn't have a teacher I could go to and do that. So it's like, I always wanted to be that teacher that students could come to. Didn't matter what side, if they were right, left, conservative, you know, liberal, Democrat, it didn't matter what side they were on. They all felt comfortable enough to me to discuss things, to have a dialogue.